Hello, my name is Francis Pinder, and you are watching or listening, perhaps, to the Salesforce Posse podcast, where I speak to Salesforce industry influencers so we can gain a better understanding of how to excel in a career path from a Salesforce admin or developer to an architect. But in this conversation, things are a little different. I'm going to be talking with Tom Bassett and Sam Wadhwani. And that is because all of three of us came up with that crazy idea that there needed to be yet another Salesforce community group. And so we are starting up the Salesforce London Architect Community Group. Tom is a solution architect at Trig Digital, but over the years has worked for a number of Salesforce consultancies, including Cloud Orca and 4C. And Sam has been a chief technical architect at PwC for a number of years. But this podcast is all about why we set up the Salesforce Community Group, as well as a bit of an introduction about us. But if you do want to come along to the next London Salesforce Architect Community Groups, or you want to find more about your local community groups near you, then head to trailblazercommunitygroups.com and hunt us out. So, without further ado, let's go! Okay, so here we are on the podcast, and I'm here with Sam and Tom, who are my fellow co-organisers of the London Architect Community Group that we're kicking off next month, this month, depending on when you're listening to it. Who knows?
Next month. Yeah.
But I think our first, what is our first one? The 17th, no, 19th of November, isn't it?
9th of November.
Oh, right. All good. Okay, cool. So we thought we'd have a quick podcast to kind of introduce ourselves to those people that are interested in watching. And hopefully we'll be streaming it and recording it anyway, or the forthcoming or later sessions anyway. So you can be able to watch them online, fingers crossed. I think we've talked about that, haven't we, at some point. So why don't we start off with a bit of an introduction? So who wants to go first?
Do you want to go first, Tom?
I'll go first.
My name's Sam Wadhwani. Some people may have seen me in the ecosystem already, because I've been there for about 13 years now. Seems like a very long time. I've been operating as an architect for a consultancy firm since graduation, but for about 10 to 11 years in the Salesforce ecosystem. For 13 years, but 10 to 11 of those have been actually from a Siebel architect background. That's me. Tom?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Tom, if you haven't worked that bit out already. And I started my Salesforce journey as a humble admin back in 2018.
Oh, cool.
And that was for a charity called Samaritans. That was based in the UK. Yeah. And so since then, I've kind of grown or spread my wings from my humble roots up through the consultant ranks to the lead consultant to a senior consultant, and now I am a solution architect. Mostly what I do is B2B rather than B2C, so I'm definitely a lover of Pardot, or should I say marketing cloud out engagement.
Always Pardot to me.
Exactly.
It will change Pardot tomorrow.
So we die.
There's Alia. Yeah. Cool. Okay, so should we get into the whole world of Pardot and renaming and rebranding the Salesforce ecosystem? Maybe not. That's probably another whole new rant of a podcast, I think. Cool. So why did you want to become a leader of the London Community Group, Architect Group, either of you?
Yeah, so I'll start on this one. So I do a lot of extracurricular activities in Salesforce, and that's kind of how I put it. So I spend a lot of my time helping people on the answers community as an answers leader. I write articles for Salesforce Ben. I've recently been and spoken at Dreamforce. So ultimately, as a person, and it might sound corny and cheesy, but it's the honest truth. I just like helping people, kind of spreading the word, sharing the love. And I think one of the things I'm most looking forward to as part of this is getting the message out there that you don't have to be a CTA to be an architect. Mm. You could be somebody like me who's a solution architect instead. And putting the kind of metaphor into action, I think architects are a little bit like crisps because there's many different flavors. And I'm definitely looking forward to spreading the word about
that. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think it's like you're making, like I've said this on the podcast previously, but it's kind of like everybody is making architectural decisions. If you're an admin, if you're a developer, you know, any decision you make, you know, you could be making something that's going to be hard or costly to change in the future, which is basically an architectural design decision. So I think the more you learn about it and the more you kind of come into the community, and this is one reason why I wanted to be part of the kind of architect group in London, was to kind of get that, show that there's actually more to even just kind of like a technical architect. You know, there's this thing called a business architect as well that isn't really technical at all, and it's such a vital piece of the kind of enterprise architecture puzzle, and getting that word out and showing, but also sharing that kind of architectural knowledge. And you know, where I wouldn't say I was a great business architect at all, because that's not my focus, but then having the opportunity for people that are to come and share their experiences of what it means to be a business architect, or whatever type of architect, in the many flavors of crisps that are out there.
Yeah, I totally agree.
How about
I
you think, Sam?
So it's similar sort of rationale, really. I definitely think that in the past, you know, there's been almost a stigma attached to what an architect is and what an architect does. But I think in recent times, you know, there's been a lot of effort and initiatives to sort of dispel those myths and actually explain, you know, what Tom said about the fact that there's actually multiple different types, and you know, it's actually more approachable as a career, as a, you know, competency than you might think. So it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be technical. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to, you know, you have to be, you know, a certain way, or you know, a certain stature. You can, you know, it's more about mindset than anything else. So I definitely think, you know, there's a purpose for sort of encouraging, you know, different kinds of architects in the ecosystem. Me personally, I've spent a lot of time in my Salesforce career helping to share the knowledge and experience I've gained in amongst the teams that, you know, and the practices that I've been part of, and that became ever more present and necessary when I was sort of planning and going through my journey to become a CTA, which I have now achieved. But now, you know, the sort of role has switched, and now I, you know, spend a lot of time actually trying to help other people, much like Tom said, actually. And this is almost an extension of that, not necessarily focused on CTA by any stretch. But it's, you know, it's sort of in the same vein of wanting to share knowledge. I still believe that, you know, as a totality, we're far more than the sum of the parts, if you see what I mean. So actually, if we, you know,
something like that.
But the, yeah, you know, we've all got,
we're better together than individually
to share. Yes, yeah, that's exactly it. So yeah. You know, sharing knowledge, encouraging the discussions, and actually getting some value from it. You know, to answer the questions about, well, so what? You know, there's lots of knowledge out there, but what does it mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely collaborating and learning from each other. which is, yeah, it's the whole point of the community groups, you know. So
I just wanted to dive into a little bit of kind of my own experiences, and I think kind of give some examples of maybe things I can bring to the group. And it's a little bit, as a person, you both probably know this already, but I speak usually what I think. Sometimes my mouth engages before my brain does. But I kind of think that I'm perhaps stronger in kind of maybe more of the business architecture than maybe you guys are, and maybe that's something that I can bring to the group in terms of, like, I've gone through the traditional consultant track, which is kind of leaning towards a business analyst anyway. I spend a fair amount of my time writing user stories, making sure that the jobs to be done are defined, and they are kind of tight. And then I kind of jump towards, like, the build part of the project, put my kind of solution hat on and decide, okay, are we doing this in flow? Are we doing this in code? What should we consider? How scalable should this be? And the kind of other side of it that I've been involved in a fair amount recently, and I think it's purely just because working for a Salesforce partner, you kind of get given whatever project lands in your lap.
Whether you like it or not.
One is, I mean, it's a good thing. Sometimes you have to learn to swim quite quickly. But this one is quite an interesting one because it's an experience cloud one. It's enterprise level, and we are ultimately designing the UI and making sure that the users of the site have the best experience. So
I've been my kind of user creative muscles then.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't think of myself as creative at all, but definitely somebody who kind of cares more and kind of thinks about, is this the best way to do this? Like, where we have this upload component, do we have it elsewhere? Is it the same? Does it work in the same way? Like, usually,
isn't that being creative?
Kind of towards,
you know, I kind of think it's, you know, being an architect is quite a creative thing, you know, in some ways, because
just maybe not necessarily like drawing it.
But you're being creative in the way you display, do things. You know, you've got this toolkit of, you know, toolbox of a zillion different things that all can be used to do, you know, solve the same problem in some respects, but it's being creative and selecting the right tool for the job, but also in a, you know, that scalable kind of future looking without knowing what the future is kind of point of view or lens. So
It's interesting because saying about that future view, that future point of lens, I've actually been working on this project for long enough that the same concept, so for example, the same approach for permissions that was put in initially is now not working.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
We are having to
ball it's kind of like the bit. Yeah, the kind of not knowing what the future is, but having to future-proof, but really not knowing what the future is, but then still being able to. And I think that's one of the challenges is with architecture, because you know this thing is going to be hard to change in the future, but making, you've got to be a futurist almost to make sure you're, you know, putting it right in the first place. So.
And that's a great idea for one of our, you know, one of our sessions as part of the group, right? Is, you know, how do you crystal ball gaze? How do you sort of plan for change? How do you design for change and adaptability? But I didn't just quote a well-architected theme, did I?
Or even well-architected. Everybody go find the website right now. You know, it's, you know, whole session on that.
Architect.salesforce.com. Go see it.
Start there.
Yeah.
I definitely think there's there's a lot of creativity in the architect role, that's for sure. Like you said, Francis, around, you know, what tools do we use? What diagrams are most important to be able to present, you know, complex problems or complex solutions to the powers that be and the and those that, you know, those stakeholders who are interested. And it's never a one size fits all, right? Yeah. And that's the sort of thing that it is always going to be a challenge, because you can't apply like a standard approach. Every client's different, every situation's different, it's got different constraints and pressures. So I do think you have to be creative and you have to apply quite a lot of lateral thinking in a lot of the cases.
I think you're kind of communicate, you know, being able to communicate complexity in a simple way is like an art form in itself, you know, to get the correct message across to the correct stakeholders at the right level of abstraction. I think, yeah, it's an incredibly creative thing and tough thing to do as well.
Yeah, I've had a similar kind of thing, and I think there's a bit of a crossover here between consultants as well. The kind of art of it, and I've referred to it before as like the art of consulting, is being able to not only kind of illustrate or get the customer on board, whatever it is that you're trying to explain, but also being able to make those other kind of smaller decisions or assumptions kind of on behalf of the customer. Like, for example, if you are talking to them about reporting, you should probably know enough to understand what the fields are. And I think that's what I have referred to before as the art of consulting, but maybe it's the art of architecting as well. Now that's an official word.
Trademark it quick.
Yeah. What do you guys think? Yeah.
And that becomes a lot more difficult when the Salesforce ecosystem is ever expanding. We're adding more technology, and there's more considerations to both technical and non-functional as well to add into the mix. So I definitely think this is, you know, these are areas that we would want to discuss with the wider audience as part of the group, and tackle that more pointedly in one area, for example. I'm sure there'll be lots of people in the group who have got experience in those areas.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, and I think
I
think on our first event next month, this month, or 4 months ago or 6 months ago, depending on when you listen to this podcast, is really kind of getting we've got some posters and things up to kind of get ideas for what you want to see at the community group. What do you want to learn? And also, what do you want to present? You know, if there's things that you find that is useful that you think should be shared across the wider group and get more visibility on within the ecosystem. But I think it's such a vast topic. We'll be hopefully here for many years to come.
And I think just speaking about like the ever-changingness of Salesforce, like just this week, or in fact, I think maybe yesterday, automotive cloud was born and is now a thing. And Genie has obviously recently come out, and there are some other new features and clouds that are probably on the way too. So it's just ever changing.
Yeah.
And I think part of the message that I've kind of accepted, I don't know if the perfectionist inside me totally agrees, but you can't be an expert in everything. You have to lean on others and kind of, because it's not possible to know every cloud. And that's why when I started this, I was kind of like, B2B, I'm comfortable in that. Not so much B2C, because ultimately that's like where my experience lies. I don't know you both, if you've got similar experiences.
I think it's the same. Yeah, it's kind of, I think a lot of people think, you know, I've got to learn it all. I'm a consultant, I'm an admin, but there's no... it's like you can't, it's impossible. It's impossible to learn it all. And even I've probably forgotten more than I've learned, you know, but what's they think? Forgotten more than you actually know now, whatever, over the years. And yeah, you have to, you know, the by becoming really good at a certain area of Salesforce is brilliant, because then, you know, you get known for being really awesome at that kind of piece of the Salesforce puzzle, either industry or technology combined or whatever it may be. And there's still going to be tens of thousands of companies around the world just wanting an expert architect in this problem domain, I suppose. So you'll still have, you know, rafts of, you know, lots of work out there, even if you kind of specialize down and are not general. And actually, I think more people should become more, you know, niched down to what they're, you know, they're good at. Because, you know, I think that's where the future's going. You know, you're not going to get hired for being a generalist. You're going to get hired for having that kind of wide architectural knowledge, but having it quite deep in a certain industry or area of the platform, or both.
Yeah. I expect you'll see, those sorts of, you know, characteristics in a lot of the audience that we have in our group as well. How are you going to, understand more about the breadth of the tech, you know, the platform or the cloud? Is actually the quickest way you're going to do it is actually by hearing from other people, right? And actually asking them questions, totally. And you know, things like that. It perpetuates the justification for the group.
Yeah, completely. And also just things like, you know, one of the things subjects I would love to have at the group is, Tableau on premise and that whole area that I just know nothing about, which would be great as well. You know, just getting a kind of that high level architectural view of where the differences are and what is the use cases and reasons for kind of going on premise versus cloud, or if there isn't any, you know.
Yeah. Interesting. I could talk to you about Tableau, but in a Parlock context. Probably not. So, yeah, that's just a small slice of the pie, you know, and maybe other new things similar, like with Slack. I don't know much about Slack either. Not to say that. There's just that breadth of everything, you know?
Yeah. There's obviously knowledge. The technical side of it. I was just about to say as well, the CTA credential is all about being T-shaped and covering the breadth and the depth, but it doesn't cover all the clouds. Even that doesn't cover all the clouds. So you still got the same challenge, even if you're, you know, at that sort of pinnacle CTA level. doesn't change.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah. No, cool, brilliant. So have you guys got anything else to say on the podcast? Except for how do you sign up to the London Community Architect Group if you want to come along, which I'll put a link in the show notes for that.
You can go onto the Salesforce events pages and search for the London Group there, and you can see the events that we've got coming up. Sign up, register, RSVP, you know, the sentiment is shared, but we're really excited for the first session. Looking forward to, you know, seeing familiar faces and new faces in the group, and it's going to be great.
I'm really looking forward
I think that's just looking forward to meeting new people and sharing my experiences, them sharing their experiences, and ultimately learning from each other. There are, I don't know, 20, 30 different ways to achieve the same thing. You could have a ferocious debate all day about which one is the right one and which one is not. And I'm looking forward to that type of conversation. And if you haven't signed up for our first session yet, can convince a couple of people with some plushies that we're going to be giving out as a result. Oh, so
give it away.
If you needed any more, that's definitely something to kind of coach you into signing up.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, brilliant, guys. I will put links to, if you want to reach out to Tom, Sam, or me, in the show notes as well. Otherwise, I think, unless Sam, you've got anything to say to finish up?
No, I'm good.
Oh, good. Well, that is it for the podcast. So thank you very much, Sam and Tom.
Thanks very much, Francis.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
Thanks for watching or listening to the Salesforce Posse podcast. Now, please, 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 if you like or what you see or hear, then please rate this podcast in your podcast player, as it tells me that there are people out there that actually are listening to this and that it's useful to them. Also, it helps the podcast algorithms to kind of elevate the podcast in the different podcast directories, which will be really helpful for me as well. And finally, if you do have a question that you want to ask on the podcast, then head to salesforceposse.com/message and maybe you'll appear in the next podcast. But apart from that, thanks for listening, and until next time, ta-ta.